Hey, what's up, Outlander fans? Welcome back to Bannex Bonnets and Kilts. I'm your host, Jenny Coco Cure, and this is episode 9 of Bannex Bonnets and Kilts. If you're new to the show and this is your first time listening, welcome. And if you're returning, welcome back. This week, we're going to be recapping First Wife. That is episode 8 of season 3 of Outlander. This was directed by Jennifer Getzinger and directed by Joy Blake. I think I got that right. Let's just double check. Yeah, directed by Jennifer Getzinger and written by Joy Blake. So let's go ahead and get started. We want to make this a quick recap. We're not going to drag it out like the last episodes. Okay, we're going to start with the title card of this episode. The episode starts with a title card of a really fabulous spread. Looks like some sort of meat pie and some fruit and some really good stuff all spread out on this table. And these two girls are helping themselves to some plates of food. And they're preparing some food on a plate. One of the little girls is maybe about 7 or 8 years old. She's dressed in a nice dress. And then there's a little teenage girl, a little bit older, about maybe about 10, not 10, what am I saying? Maybe about 15, 16 years old. And she's fixing a plate of food herself. And then they, you know, zoom in and kind of close on the food. So I guess we are to gather from that, that this is some sort of feast that they're at or some sort of party. And they're just fixing plates for themselves. So, and they look like they're enjoying themselves. So that's nice. Anyway, we start the episode with Claire, Jamie, and young Ian on horseback, just arriving at the Lollybrock property. And they pause right before going into the gate, and they can just kind of sit there. And Claire, narrator Claire, is talking about how this was her home and this was something that she remembered fondly, but that for some reason at this time, it didn't feel the same. Something felt different. So they rode into the gate, and then we switched to the next scene where Jenny is staring and panting for some reason as she is looking at Claire. So I guess maybe she's just so surprised to see Claire that she can hardly catch her breath. She's standing there with her hands on her hips, just okay. Like, did she just run or something? I don't know what happened there. So Jenny was like, I never thought I'd see you again. And Claire was like, yes, here I am. I am here again. And Jenny said, when Ian told me you were still alive, you could have knocked me over with a feather. And Claire, you know, and this is kind of a tense, uncomfortable moment because it's clear that Jenny is shocked, but she does not appear to be happy to see Claire. So Jenny, you know, turns to look at young Ian. And says that, you know, you had me worried sick. She gives him a hug and then slaps him upside the head. And he says, I didn't mean to worry you, but, and Ian, you know, Father Ian, older Ian, says to him, you need to shut your trap now and go in the house before you let your trunk, your tongue get you in trouble, you know. So young Ian goes into the house and, you know, awaits his punishment. So then Jenny, Ian, Claire, and Jamie all go into the house, and Ian starts in right away asking Jamie why he didn't tell him that Ian was with him. And Jamie says that, you're right, I should have told you that the boy was with me, and I apologize, but I took care of him. And young Ian is there as well. And young Ian was like, look, I left and I went there to the city because I was wanting to earn a wage instead of sitting around here feeding chickens. And Ian was like, oh, is that what you were doing? And young Ian said, yes, I sold 20 casks of brandy, you know, before the fire took the print shop and we had to leave. So Jamie's looking at young Ian like, God, he's telling all my business. And Ian is like, you had a fire, so that's why you're back. And Jamie's like, yeah, we had a small fire. And Jenny was like, you had my son selling liquor and consorting with criminals. So, you know, all this stuff is being spilled, and Jamie had kept all this from them. Claire is silently kind of observing all this. And, you know, Ian tells young Ian to go out and don't go too far because he's finna get a thrashing. So young Ian leaves. And before he leaves, though, when they're discussing everything that happens with the print shop, and young Ian was like, there was a, well, Jamie started to try to explain what was going on with the print shop, saying that everything was going well, you know, except for when this government official started trying to extort money from him. And this guy sent some kind of guy after Claire, you know, and then young Ian, of course, speaking too much again, says, and Auntie Claire killed him good. And Jenny looks at him and then looks at Claire, and Claire has this sheepish look on her face. And then that's when they send young Ian out because they have to have more talking without him being there. And as soon as he leaves, Jenny looks at Claire. You killed a man in front of my child? And Claire explains, no, it wasn't like that. Ian wasn't there. Young Ian wasn't there. And I was defending myself. The man attacked me. I had no choice. And Claire was getting ready to launch into this whole explanation about how things went down. And Jenny was like, oh, well, let's just gather around the fire if we're going to listen to a tall tale. Jenny is not here for any of this. And then Janie's like, look, you weren't complaining when I was sending money home every month. And Jenny was like, look, I know how you earn your money, but let me tell you something. That's you. Okay, I don't want my son having anything to do with the criminal element. You could have taught him about printing, not about this criminal shit. Okay, so don't go there. Okay, so Jamie was like, well, you know, I treated Ian like he was my own son. And Ian was like, really? And he took his belt off and handed it to Jamie. Then you can punish him like he's yours too. Jamie looks at the belt and then gave Claire a little side eye, knowing how Claire feels about the beatings. from those of you who don't know, just check out season one. There's a big thing about that there. And Jamie says to Ian, look, there's a better way to punish the boy without having to go there. And then we switch to a scene with the young Ian out back. And I don't know what this is, if it is mud or something else, but it looks like something else. I hope it's not, because he's essentially sculpting some things. I don't know what he's putting together, but he's got like a giant bowl of this stuff that looks like either mud or shit. It's one or the other. Maybe it's a mixture of the two, but he's mixing it with hay and sculpting some things, putting them together. And his sister is kind of teasing him about it and saying that, you know, he's covered in muck. And he says, well, you're covered in fox tails, so there, you know. And she looks at her sweater like she's checking out what he's talking about, and she picks at it. And she's looking at him and saying, you got some on your face, too. And he's like, that's not muck, that's whiskers. And he's so proud. And she's like, whiskers, you? He's like, yeah. He throws some mud or shit pie or whatever that is at her. And she avoids it. So he's back there saying he hates doing this chore and he wishes he could have had the thrashing. And Ian, older Ian, is off to the side watching. So then Jamie approaches Ian and once again apologizes for not telling him that Ian was with him. And Ian makes a comment about his son, young Ian, following Jamie around like a pup because he loves him so much. And they just kind of watch him, observe him doing whatever the heck he's doing with the mud shit pies. So anyway, back in the house, kids are running everywhere. There's like these three little kids that are running one way, and then these two other little kids run from the kitchen, apparently eating something. Jenny's behind them saying, okay, well, that's your supper then, since you snatched that food. So Claire runs into the two little kids running from the kitchen and says, oh, well, look at these fine young gentlemen. And Jenny introduces her to them and says that these are Maggie's children. Maggie being the baby that Jenny gave birth to when Claire was there last time. So Jenny sends those two scurrying off, and Claire was like, wow, it's so difficult to imagine that Maggie would be old enough to have children of her own now. And Jenny, you know, looking around like she doesn't want to make eye contact with Claire, says, well, you know, those things happen when 20 years go by. And Claire notices the shade, of course. Yeah, Jenny is not making any secret of the fact that she is not pleased to see Claire at all. So then this tall, dark, handsome man comes down the stairs with a baby in his arms and says, oh, we have company. And he hands the baby to Jenny, and he says to Claire, hi, I'm James Murray. And Claire goes, young Jamie. Now, for those of you who have been watching since season one, you know young Jamie was a little boy that was in the yard when Jamie first brought Claire to Lollybrook after he married her. Well, now young Jamie is a full-grown man with kids of his own, and he is holding one of these kids. And Claire says to him, wow, I haven't seen you since you were no bigger than a washtub. And he was like, oh, okay. And Jenny looks at him and says, yeah, she used to live here at Lollybrook years ago. You know, you probably wouldn't remember her though. So, young Jamie, whatever you want to call him, says, okay, well, let me go, you know, say hello to my uncle. So he leaves, and Jenny says, this one's wet, this baby. She's holding the baby, and she gets ready to take, you know, care of the baby's diaper. And Claire's like, can I help? And Jenny looks at her and is like, we don't want to confuse the child with strange faces and all. And she walks off, and Claire is once again standing there with her face on the floor, because Jenny and shade. She is the queen of shade, at least in Outlander. So in the next scene, we have Jamie come into the yard. Jenny is in the yard already. She is doing laundry. Jamie approaches, saying that young Ian has finished putting together those whatever the heck they were. He said what it was, but I didn't understand what he said. He said it would be enough fuel to last for a month. So I guess it was something that was like fuel. I don't know. Anyway, so Jenny said, well, father would have put you over the gate. And Jamie's like, well, you don't always have to go that route to punish a boy. And then Jenny was like, oh, so you're an expert on raising kids now. And Jamie was like, nah, but you know, I am an expert on 16-year-old boys growing up on a farm. So Jamie says to Jenny that she should give Ian a little taste of freedom while he still thinks it's hers to give. And she says, look at you being the expert on raising kids. And she says, you must know, Jamie, that it is a mortal sin to take another wife while your other wife still walks the earth. Jamie says, I would have never married again if I had known that Claire was still alive. And Jenny's like, well, if you thought she was dead, why didn't you share your grief with me? And Jamie's like, I didn't even want to talk about it. I didn't want to think about it, let alone talk about it. And Jenny was like, okay, I understand, but you can talk about it now. Tell me what happened. So Jamie comes up with this story. He says that he made an arrangement for Claire to stay at an inn while he was on the battlefield, and he expected to die. He said, I expected to die while I was on the battlefield at Culloden. And he had given her money to stay at an inn, and arrange for her safe passage to the colonies. And later he says he had heard that the British had gone through this town where this inn was and killed everyone, every man, woman, and child. And he thought that she had died in that. And Claire, of course, thinking that he had died on the battlefield, went to the colonies with the money that he had given her. So that's the story he's weaving for Jenny. And right when he's wrapping up his little story and getting ready to walk off, because he's uncomfortable with all this lying, or at least I guess he is, Jenny says after him, "You know what? When you were captured by the Redcoats and Claire thought that you were captured, she searched for you high and low. The Claire that I knew from back then would never have stopped looking for you." And he didn't have anything to say to that, because that's some real stuff. So later that evening, we're back in the Lallybroch bedroom where Claire and Jamie are having a discussion. And Jamie says to Claire that they could build a little cottage on the west end of the property, and they could build a life there. And Claire was like, "Only Jenny can't stand to even look at me now." And she says, "Maybe we should tell her the truth." And Jamie's like, "No, we can't do that." And he said, "You might as well try to convince her that you're a mermaid." And Claire's like, "Well, we told Murtaugh." And he said Murtaugh was a man of the world. He'd been out in the world. Jenny's never left this farm. You couldn't convince her of something like that the same way you could Murtaugh. And Claire is concerned because she knows that if she doesn't tell Jenny the truth, because Jenny is suspicious, she doesn't believe everything Jamie's saying. She doesn't believe what Claire is saying. And Claire knows, if I don't tell Jenny the truth, there's always going to be this wall between us. And Claire says Jenny casts a very warm light on those that she trusts, and a very cold shadow on those that she doesn't. And ain't that the truth? Jenny is the queen of the cold shoulder, honey. You are not going to convince Jenny easily to give that up. Not once you've gotten on that list. So, you know, Jamie is staring at Claire. And he kind of looks like he's thinking about something. And then he says, "You know, sometimes I really can't believe you're still here." And Claire kind of smiles. And then he says, "You know, once I looked for you, I searched for you. It was the day that I escaped from Ardsmuir." And Claire's like, "You escaped?" He's like, "Yeah. There was this old homeless man had come to the prison kind of out of his head. He was ill. And the governor of the, he explained to Claire that the governor of the prison had heard that the man was mumbling about French gold and wanted Jamie to talk to the man about it to see if he can get some information. And when Jamie, of course, talked to the man, he told him some stuff about a white lady and, you know, and the silkies and all that stuff. So Jamie assumed that this had something to do with Claire, since she was known as the white lady, a white witch. So that's why he escaped, and he swam through this freezing cold Arctic water from the prison to this island called Silky's Island, when Silky's being seals. And he said that was the only island in the area that had seals on it. So he said he swam through this freezing water out of his mind with cold until he got to the island. And by the way, in the show, they're doing this flashback of Jamie actually doing this. And then he gets out of the water and he climbs up these jagged rocks to this this area of the island. And he starts yelling, "Claire, Claire," like he expects to see Claire there. And when he realizes she's not there, he just kind of crumbles. And he says, in his narrator's voice, he says, "If that man hadn't died already, I'd want to go back and kill him for giving me hope," you know. But then he looks around and he sees the Mackenzie crest etched into the stone on the wall of this area. And he goes over to it and he reaches for the stone with the crest on it, and it's removable. So he moves it, and there's a case or a box or a treasure trunk or whatever behind it. And inside are all these jewels and coins that he had mentioned about earlier in the season when he was still in prison. So he tells Claire that he only took one sapphire and he gave it to the governor of the prison when he went back to the prison. And Claire was like, you had all that jewelry and all that gold. Why would you go back to the prison? Jamie said, I couldn't carry it with me. And he says, besides, the prisoners needed him because he was their leader. And Claire kind of smiled at him and says, I wasn't on that island, but I was out there waiting for you to come find me. And then she said, I know this sounds silly, but whenever I would hear a bird song, I would imagine that it was you talking to me. And Jamie smiled. And then Jamie tells this little story about, I think, a bird. And he says, you know, if you kill one of these birds, you'll have to wait until the bird's mate comes to mourn, because the bird's mate will come to mourn their lost mate, and you'll have to kill that bird too, or else that bird would just grieve itself to death, calling to the skies for its lost mate, which sounds pretty freaking horrible. So moved by this sweet story, or a tragic story, however you want to look at it, Claire, you know, kisses Jamie very gently. But then he kind of looks down. He's obviously disturbed or bothered by something. And Claire asks, what's wrong? And he says, Claire, there's something that I have to tell you. I've been meaning to tell you, but I just didn't know how. And Claire's like, what is it? And he says, but you have to listen with your open mind. You have to really listen to me. And right then, before he can say anything, the door swings open and this little girl bounds in going, Daddy. And then she starts when she sees that he's sitting there with Claire. And another girl, an older girl, like a teenage girl, says, Daddy, who is that woman? And Claire, she's like, Daddy. And then you hear footsteps behind these two girls. And suddenly in comes the second wife. And it turns out to be Leary Mackenzie from season one. Everybody is familiar. Well, season two as well. We had a brief viewing of her in season two as well. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with seasons one and two, Leary Mackenzie is a young lady that Jamie has, initially he had kind of a little thing with, you know. He took her a beating for her in the first season because her father was angry at her for disobeying him and took her down to the Mackenzies to get her punished. And she was going to be beating in front of everyone. And Jamie was like, no, he couldn't let that happen. So he took the beating for her. And she was grateful, and she showed him how grateful she was by smooching with him. And Jamie at that time was not attached to anyone. He wasn't attached to Claire. Matter of fact, he and Claire had just met. And they, you know, started, he and Leary, so they kind of started hooking up and smooching. And from there, Leary has always felt that Jamie was supposed to be her man. And when Jamie ended up falling in love with Claire and getting with Claire and then marrying Claire, then Leary became the bane of their existence. Going so far at one point to even attempt to poison Claire. Now, not poison, but to, she put an ill wish charm under their bed, an ill wish charm. And the ill wish charm was supposed to break up their marriage or some stuff like that. So anyway, this child, and she even had Claire, arrested when Jamie went away one time. She had Claire arrested and tried as a witch because Claire was hanging out with this woman. Anyway, we're not going to go and recap season one. Just let's just put it very clearly that Claire and Leary do not have a good history. So for Claire to see that Jamie has married Leary McKenzie of all the women he probably could have found to marry. That hoe. Oh, Lord. Yeah, Claire was not feeling that. She was quite upset. Anyway, Leary is like, the witch, that's the witch is here. Oh, Leary was cussing up a storm. So Leary says, you assassinate witch. She says, you're supposed to be dead. And, you know, and Jamie, and she looks at Jamie. Jamie Fraser, how could you do this to me? And Jamie's like, I haven't done anything to you. And the little girl, the youngest of the two, says, Mommy, Daddy, stop. And Claire looks at this little girl. She's got red hair. So she's like, Daddy? And she looks at Jamie and looks at the little girl and then at Leary. And Leary looks at her and goes, what? He didn't tell you? Well, guess what? He's my husband now. Have you no shame, you freaking home-wrecking trollop? And she calls her a cunt and, oh, some of everything. She says, take your ass back to hell where you came from. And Jamie tries pushing her out of the room. And she's like, let go of me. Oh, she's putting up a fight, but he pushes her out. And then when she starts to run, he looks back and says something to Claire. And then chases after Leary. Leary, wait. I'm like, oh, God. So Claire is sitting there on this bed, stunned. Obviously, she's thinking the kids are his and he's married to Leary and he has been quite dishonest to her. So then we switch to this really heartbreaking scene of Jamie and the youngest of the two girls having a talk. And the little girl is asking him who that woman is. And Jamie says, this is my first wife, Claire. And she's like, what? But, you know, how could you upset mommy like this? What about mommy? And he's like, well, I tried really hard to be a husband to Leary, but we just don't have a bond with each other. And the little girl is like, what is a bond? And Jamie says, it's a connection that you have with one person to make you want to stay with them forever. And she says, and so you have a bond with your first wife? And Jamie says, yes, I do. And the little girl is like, does that mean you're going to go away forever? And Jamie says, I love you and your sister, and I'll always take care of you, I promise. And he says, now go find your sister and have her take you back to your mother. And the little girl gets up off the stairs and gets ready to leave. And Jamie says, your mother needs you. And he starts to sit down on the stairs, but then the little girl turns around really fast and rushes into his arms to give him a hug. And I'm like, this is so heartbreaking. This is their father. He's stepdaddy, but he's still daddy. And I don't know if this was something that was expressed as much in the book. But God, yeah, that is something that's tough, man. Even though a little later he explains how this situation was, still, he was living in their home with them for at least a little while and being daddy, and these kids bonded with him as their father. So for this to happen, it's really messed up. It's really tragic, and the kids suffer as a result of that. Just like with any other marriage and relationship when people break up. So in the next scene, we have Claire back in the bedroom crying, gathering her things. She's getting the fuck out of here because this is not what she signed up for. And Jamie comes in and he sees her getting her stuff. And he's like, Claire, please listen. I can explain. She's like, nope, don't want to hear it. There's nothing that you need to say. I already know. This is it. I'm out. And he's like, look, Leary and I have been married for less than 2 years. She doesn't live here. I don't live with them. And, you know, and we've lived apart most of the time after we got married. And she's like, okay, so I suppose that makes it better. I'm like, and she's like, and it took you a while to figure it out you didn't want to be married after you had your two kids. And he's like, Leary was a widow when I saw her again. She already had these two kids. The kids are not mine. And Claire was like, the little girl with red hair is not yours, really. And he's like, look, I'm not the only man in Scotland with red hair. You know? And she's like, you know, she says, you lied to me. You promised me that you had not ever fallen in love with anyone else. He says, I don't love Leary. And she's like, so you would marry someone you don't have any feelings for? And he was like, no. She said, so why didn't you tell me then? Why did you tell me about Willie, but you did not tell me about this? And Jamie was like, why didn't I tell you? You want to know why? Because I'm a coward. And I would have done anything when I saw you again to keep you and make sure you didn't leave me. He was like, he would sacrifice honor, you know, integrity, you know, family, anything just so he could lie with her again, even though she left him. And Claire looked at him like, what? Left you? You forced me to go. You told me to leave. She says, how can you sit there and blame me like it's my fault? I would have died on the Culloden field with you. And he's like, yes, I understand. You had to leave for the baby. I get it. So then she's like, so then you blame me for coming back? And he says, no. Yes. I mean, no. And then he's like, do you know what it's like to live 20 years without a heart, to lose everything and to try to live in the bed that's left? And Claire was like, yes, I know what that's like, you bastard. I did the same thing. And she says, what do you think? I went back and lived happily ever after with Frank. And then Jamie was like, you know, sometimes I could see it. I could see him holding you, lying with you, holding my baby in his arms, and it makes me sick. No, actually, he says, I could kill you for it. You know, and she says, well, you can imagine me with Frank, but I don't have to imagine Leary. And he just kind of blows up then and throws something against the wall and says, I don't even love Leary. She says, so you could just be with someone and not have any feeling for them at all whatsoever. And he's like, you know what? With you, I'm done either way. She says, he says, if I've loved her, then I'm a total, you know, asshole for doing that. And if I didn't love her, I'm a heartless, conniving asshole for that. So, you know, I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't. And Clara says, whatever, you should have told me. And she turns to leave, but he grabs her arm and he said, and if I had, you would have turned on your heel and left. And then he starts backing her into the room and he says, look, I would do far worse than lie to keep you from leaving me. And then he presses his mouth against hers very angrily and they start, well, he starts kissing her. And when he stops, she slaps the shit out of him. And then he kisses her again. It's a very angry kiss. And then she slaps him again. And then he takes her and he throws her on the bed. He's on top of her. And she's like, get off me. And he's trying to, I don't know what he's trying to, well, it's pretty clear what he's trying to do. So they're tussling. And then, you know, she's fighting him back and they end up on the floor and he's getting her attention. Claire, I love you. I'm not going to let you leave me. And he starts kissing her again, but this time she's kissing him back. And then they get into this kind of a sexy wrestle. She's wrestling to get her clothes off. He's wrestling to get his clothes off. They're ripping at each other's clothes and they're grinding each other. And she flips over and she's on top and she manages to get his shirt half off and he's pulling her nightgown up, trying to get her stockings down. Well, he actually pulls them down and he's reaching, you know, child, it's pretty, pretty intense. And then suddenly they're doused with water. And you hear Jenny say, stop it. You two are retching like a couple of animals and not caring if the whole house hears you. So Claire, very embarrassed, gets up and leaves. Jamie sits there on the floor, soaking wet, just kind of dazed. And then Jenny leaves the room. So in the next scene, Claire is off in another room, looks like downstairs in the library or wherever, looking into the fire, just kind of thinking. And one of the older daughters, Jenny's older daughters, the one that had been teasing Ian, young Ian earlier, came and asked Claire if she wanted a whiskey. And Claire says, sure, never, of course, to turn down a drink. So the girl starts to pour her one and then hands it to Claire. And Claire thanks her and says that she's sorry for disturbing the house. And the girl says, it's okay. I really hated that I started this whole thing. And Claire's like, what do you mean? And Claire, the girl says, I'm the one that told Leary you were here. And Claire's like, well, I'm sure we would have found out about each other eventually. But then she asks, why did you tell her? And the girl pauses and then she says, my mom told me to. And then Jenny starts to come into the room. The girl turns and leaves. And Claire confronts Jenny. She's like, you told Leary that I was here? And Jenny looks unapologetic and says, she's his wife. And Claire's like, I'm his wife. And Jenny's like, is that why you searched for him? Is that why you came back and tried to find us? And, you know, basically, Jenny is not hearing any of this. She don't care. She is basically like, look, I know something else is going on here. I've heard your stories. And I think at this point, Claire even tells her again about this, you know, going to the colonies thinking Jamie's dead. Well, she says, you know what? You can't write a letter. You couldn't write a letter. And Claire was like, look, when I was in the colonies, I got married again. So that startles Jenny. And she says, and in order for me to make that marriage work, I had to commit fully. I had to leave you guys behind and just focus on that and not think about you guys back here. or contact you. It had to be that way in order for me to survive. And she says when her husband died, she decided to come back to visit Jamie's grave because she wanted to let him know that she never forgot him. And when she came back, she discovered that he was alive. And that's how she ended up where they are now. And Jenny looks at her suspiciously, but then says, you know, I can hear the truth in what you're saying, but I can see in your eyes that there's something you're not telling me. And I don't know if I want to put my trust in you again. She says, if there's a horse that breaks its leg, you put the horse down because that leg will never heal right. And neither will we. And she walks out of the room. So then in the next scene, we have Jenny cleaning up after Jamie and Claire's fight fucking, whatever they were doing. And she's picking up broken pieces of something off the floor. And Ian comes in and tells her that Jamie's going to crash in the stables tonight, which I'm like, the stables? Damn, you downgraded to the stables, dude? You can't take the another room? There's a lot of rooms in the house, right? And that Claire is being put in the guest room for the night. And Jenny's like, okay, so this doesn't bother you that he's lying with two women? And Ian is like, he hasn't been with Leary and I don't know how long, so that's not even true. He's like, look, you have been praying for your brother for years to find happiness, and finally when he finds it again, you can't let him have it. He says something about her being a shit stirrer, which I found amusing as well. Say, so you just take some shit and stir it up like you're doing God's work. And she looks at the little mess on the floor and stuff. And she says, does this look like happiness to you? So Ian just looks at her. He shakes his head and he leaves. He's like, there's no hope. My wife is just, she's just a shit stirrer. So, but when Jenny is looking after him, you can tell she's kind of thinking that she might be wrong, but she's stubborn. She is not going to let go of that bone. So in the next scene, it's the next morning and Claire is leaving. She is exiting the building. She is walking down the stairs in front of Lolly Brock, got her bag. She's out. And Jamie, I guess knowing that she was probably going to dip out, is standing at the gate waiting and he's calling her, Claire, Claire, please. You know, she's like, I should never have come back. And he says, you can't erase 20 years. 20 years have occurred. And I've lived a life. You've lived a life. I just want to make things right now. And she's like, you said that we had room for secrets, but not lies. And you've lied to me. And he says, I'm truly sorry. And she's like, I'm out. And she's, you know, starts to leave again. And he calls after her, Claire, there's only been one love in my life, and that's you. And she turns and looks at him. But before she could say anything, Leary comes around the corner. So there's the truth of it then. And she's got a gun aimed at Claire. And Jamie, you know, he kind of, you know, stands in front of Claire. Well, actually, you know, you notice that he's not really standing in front of Claire. He's standing next to her. I keep wondering, wait a minute, this woman is aiming a gun at your wife and you're just going to stand next to her like hoping what? That she doesn't shoot right now. But anyway, he's telling Leary to put the gun away. And she's like, I've got to shoot this. I have to kill this Sassenach hoe. She's got to go. So finally, Jamie gets in front of Claire and says, look, you know, you need to put the gun down. And Leary's like, I'm not going to sit here and watch her walk away with you. And he's like, we haven't lived in the same house for many months. She says it wasn't perfect, but you provided for me and my kids. And while she was rambling on and he's thankfully had stood in front of Claire, the gun goes off and she shoots Jamie in the shoulder and arm. and she tries to rush to him. Jamie and Claire, you know, screams at her, get away from him, leave him alone. And then she runs off leering, you know, like, of course she does. I think Claire also took the gun from her too. So anyway, Leary runs off like the little coward she is. And Claire picks Jamie up and kind of helps him get back into the house. Jamie's like, it's just birdshot. Don't worry about it. I just have a few more scars. And Claire's like, you remember what I told you about germs? Take your shirt off. And she's gonna, you know, hook it up. So then Ian and Jenny show up, Senior Ian, and it's like, what happened? And Claire looks right in Jenny's face, Leary. So Jenny, of course, looks all sheepish then. So, and Jamie says, this is nothing. Claire can fix me right up. So Jenny, of course, once again, is looking like her face is on the floor. Well, isn't this a nice pickle, Jenny? All your fault, you meddling wench. So anyway, Claire gets to work. She tells Jamie to lay down and she gets out her tools and, you know, her little scalpels and stuff that she stole from the hospital. And she proceeds to take all of the birdshot out of Jamie's wounds. He's drinking liquor to, I guess, cure the pain. And then he just lies there while she's taking all this birdshot out of him. And then there's one that's in his armpit that she says, hopefully this hasn't nicked an artery because you could bleed to death and there'd be nothing I could do. She manages to get it. Thankfully, it didn't nick an artery. And she then stitches him up. And Ian, young Ian, is observing all this and he is fascinated. So Ian pours her, young Ian pours her a glass of whiskey and hands it to her and says, Uncle Jamie is lucky you're here. And Claire takes it, takes a big drink, and then looks at Jamie. He's sleeping, apparently, after she has stitched him up. Apparently he fell asleep during this. Unbeknownst to me how that could happen, since I think that's a pretty painful process without any anesthetic, but hey, who knows? Anyway, later, Jamie is lying in the study on the couch. He's all bandaged up. Claire comes over to check his bandages and his wounds. Jamie wakes up. He looks up at her and says, No, she says to him that all the pellets are out. And no, she says she made Swiss cheese out of your arm. And then he says, I don't know what Swiss cheese is, but if it looks anything like my arm, I wouldn't want it on my bread. He's trying to be light. And she ignores him and she goes, well, the pellets are all out and your arteries are intact. You know, she walks away over across the room and pours him a little thing of water. He says, I'd like some whiskey. And she's like, you've had enough alcohol. She brings some water over to him. Here, drink this. You also need to drink broth. So he takes the cup from her. He's trying to smile at her, but she is not having it, you know? So he drinks the water. And she walks over across the room again. She starts pacing a little bit. You can tell something's on her head. So finally she says to him, I don't understand what you see in that woman. And he was like, well, you know, at the time that I chanced upon her again, she wasn't toting a pistol. And she's like, so that's it? And he says, you really want to know? And she's like, yes, I do. And he's like, and you won't get mad. She's like, I haven't stopped being mad. So he goes into a flashback talking about how he and Leary had chanced upon each other at a party, a hominy, I think is what he called it. It was very festive. So this refers back to the title card when the two little girls were getting food from this really decked out table. So it was from this event, which, was apparently some sort of festive gathering and party at the, Lollybrock house. and everything was decorated so pretty, and there was lots of food, and everyone was dancing and running around. But Jamie was off by himself in a corner somewhere because he had just come back from Hellwater and had been away for so long. Nobody knew him anymore. The kids didn't recognize him. And he said he just felt lonely and alone, and he felt like a stranger in his own house. So he's standing there, and two little girls approached him, asked him if he liked fig pudding or the figs or something like that. And he's like, yes. And I think they gave him some. So they then ask him to dance, and he accepts, and he goes out on the dance, well, the dance floor. He goes out with the others that are dancing to dance with the little girls, and he's laughing and he's having a good time. Jenny sees him and is so touched by this, and she's smiling at them as they dance. And when the dance is over, they go off to get something else to eat. And Jamie says, are you cousin so-and-so's kids? And she's like, we're Leary McKinney's, I think McKinney was the last name, Leary McKinney's daughters. So then Jamie looks around and sees that Leary is standing across the room, and Leary notices that he's looking and looks at him, and she smiles at him, and then he smiles at her. And Jamie, you know, explains to Claire that she was twice widowed, had these two daughters, needed a husband. Jenny felt that it would be a good match, so she encouraged the wedding, and there you have it. That's what it was. He said he wanted to be a father. He wanted to be a family man, and so he thought it was a perfect situation. It just didn't turn out well. Leary was hurt, apparently, at some point. He says that they would go, after they got married, almost immediately they would go days, weeks without her saying anything to him. And he said he didn't mind that because when they were talking, they were fighting. And then when it came to touching, he was like, she couldn't bear it. She couldn't stand it. It's somewhere, somehow, she had been hurt by either her first husband or her second husband. He didn't know which. But after a while of that, he just couldn't take it anymore, so he left. He says he could stand a lot of things, but what he could not stand was not being able to, or have his touch, you know, be fear, made her fearful, you know, to have her afraid of his touch. So Claire is listening to this, and I'm just thinking, that's got to be tough to hear, you know, because yes, she had the marriage with Frank, you know, she was living her life, her and Frank was doing that they had to do, but Leary, of all the people, Leary, and he's trying to figure out a way to be intimate with her and to touch her. I'm sorry, that would just, yeah, I don't blame Claire. You got to, that's one you got to hold on to for a while. You can't let that one slide. That's rough. That's a rough one. So anyway, as he's wrapping up this story, he starts to drift off to sleep. And Claire touches his hand and notices that he is hot. And she says, you're burning up. And she touches his forehead and his face. And she says, why didn't you tell me you were fevered? And he's like, I thought it was the heat of shame. So she goes over to her bag and gets out that penicillin. And she gets out a syringe. And he's like, what on earth is that? And she's like, this is something that's going to knock that fever right out of you. So she loads up the syringe, and then she, tells him to lay on his side. And he does, turning his booty to her. And he's like, okay, that needle looks pretty sharp. And he can see that she's going for the buttock. And he says, I don't understand what the sticking needles in my ass. He says it like that because she stabs him with a needle. And he says, what is sticking needles in my ass is going to do for wounds in my arm? And she's like, trust me, this is going to cure you right up. So anyway, she gives him the shot of penicillin. And now it's just the waiting game to see how it handles the fever. So in the next scene, Jenny is sitting outside on the steps. Claire goes to join her. And Jenny says to Claire, you know, I saw you. I had a vision of you when Jamie and Leary got married. You were standing between them in this vision. And she says, you know, when he brought you here, I didn't know who or what you were, who your people were, or anything like that. And even when Jamie told me stuff, like you would say things sometimes that I did not understand, but whatever it was, I should listen and follow the instructions. And when you told us to plant potatoes, those potatoes kept us alive for years after Culloden. So, you know, I never had any problem with any of it. She says, you know, I just listened. I just followed orders, you know. And as long as Jamie chose you, that was all right with me. You know, and it didn't matter. And Claire's like, but it matters now. And Jenny said, Jenny says, you're never going to tell me the whole story, are you? And Claire says, what I can tell you is that I love your brother very much. I love all of you. And I never forgot you. I thought of you all the time. And Jenny's like, you were like a sister to me. And Claire says, I loved you too. I still love you. I just want you to give me a second chance. So Jenny looks at her like she's considering it, but she never answers that question. And in the next scene, we have Ned Gowan showing up at the house. And when Claire sees him, she's like, Ned. And you know, the aging that they did with Ned was very appropriate, I thought. He looked like, he still looked like Ned, but definitely considerably older and a little weaker and maybe a little shaky. And he had on the old traditional old English wig of someone with the court, I guess. I think they wore wigs with the curls on the sides, but anyway. And he was so excited to see her. He says, oh my goodness, aren't you a sight for these old eyes? And he gives her a hug. And I think he's even a little emotional. He has a handkerchief out and everything. And Claire is like, Ned, you haven't changed a bit. What is your secret? And he says, I never married. So anyway, in the next scene, it's Jamie, Claire, and Ned sitting at a table together trying to hash out the divorce agreement between he and Leary, Jamie and Leary. And at first they're discussing the fact that Leary shot Jamie. And, this is a crime. And you're not even supposed to have a pistol in the Highlands. You know, there's a disarmament law that went, you know, down after Culloden. And it's still in place and they're not supposed to have guns. So Ned asks, where's the gun? And Jamie said that young Jamie had hidden it out in the stable somewhere. And Ned suggested, well, you know, if you want, you could turn it over to the Redcoats, or, you know, turn it over to the Crown. And Jamie's like, no, I can't do that. And Claire's like, well, she has to be punished somehow. And Jamie was like, yeah, she does have to be punished. And he asked Ned what would happen if they did this. And Ned says she would probably send to the colonies. And Claire is like, well, I hear that Virginia is nice this time of year. But Jamie's like, no, I can't do that. Because the girls, you know, they're already losing a father. I don't want them to lose a mother too. So That's out of the question. And then Jamie asks, what does Leary want? And Ned pretty much explains that she wants to continue to be taken care of. You know, she wants her household to continue to be taken care of. So Jamie agrees that this is something that he can do. So later they're discussing it with Jenny and Ian. And they explain that Leary wants 20 pounds and then 10 pounds per year until her daughters are properly wed. And I think Jamie's also supposed to supply a dowry. And Ian is like, that's outrageous, you know, because 20 pounds apparently is 2 years' income. A year's income is apparently 10 pounds. So, yeah, Leary's trying to bleed him dry, just like most of these ex-wives out here. She's trying to get hers. Take half. Take all this shit is basically what's happening. So Jamie is like, okay, look, I want to pay this because I want this over with. And Jenny's like, well, how are you going to get the money? So, you know, they discuss this treasure that Jamie had found, and they can have to go back to the island to get it, you know, because Jamie, of course, had left it out there. So Claire's like, look, your arm is damaged. You can't go swimming out there. So young Ian asks, as he comes into the room, because he's always in the background listening and eavesdropping, he says, how far of a swim is it? And Jamie tells him, and he goes, oh, I could swim that easy. And Jenny is like, boy, go on, sit yourself down somewhere. But, you know, young Ian, you know, says he's a good swimmer. He can handle this swim. So apparently they come to the conclusion that young Ian is going to tackle this task. So later, as they are out on the isle where this Seal Island is, Claire and Jamie are standing watching after Ian. Jamie has his little periscope watching as Ian swims. And Claire is like, that water must be freezing cold. And Jamie agrees, yeah, it is. But it's the current that's the worst part. You know, if you let that current get you, you're toast. But don't worry, Ian is a strong swimmer. He's got this. So they're watching him as he swims. And he finally makes it to the island. And Claire is, you know, standing there. But she's being a little cool towards Jamie still. She's not really making eye contact. He looks at her and he says, you know, we're the only two people on this island, but you can't even look me in my eyes. And Claire, you know, she's quiet for a moment. Then she says, you know, I'm starting to wonder if this all wasn't a big mistake, my coming back, because things were okay before this. She says, I didn't hate living in Boston. She says, I had a career there and I had friends and, you know, everything that was going on with me there, I actually had a life there. And you had your print shop and, you know, you were doing okay. We were both doing okay. And Jamie says, being a printer was not compared to being your husband. And Claire says, for 20 years, I've been haunted by your memory. And when I found out that you were alive, and then I got here, and it has just been so much harder than I ever imagined it was going to be. And Jamie says, when has it ever been easy? And Jamie approaches her and touches her face and says, I will not apologize for it. You belong with me. We're made it for life, Sassenach. Will you risk the man that I am for the sake of the one that you once knew? And she's looking at him and thinking about this, but then she sees something off in the distance and and brings it to James' attention. He turns around and sees a ship is parked on the side of the island where young Ian is. And then they see a rowboat with men going from the ship to the shore of the island. And Claire's like, "Where's young Ian?" And Jamie's looking through his periscope. He finds Ian. Ian has found the box. He's holding it and carrying it like he's getting ready to come back over. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, Jamie couldn't swim with it. How's Ian going to swim with it? But I guess, you know, he's a strong swimmer. I thought about that after I was... And don't they have rowboats? Why not take a rowboat? But anyway, I don't know. Lots of things to ponder here. But anyway, Ian, the men who are in the rowboat from the ship, get on the island. They approach Ian and they attack him. And Jamie and Claire run down to the shore to get a closer look. And by the time they get down to the bottom, they see that the rowboat is going back towards the ship, presumably with Ian and the box with them. And they're basically like, what the hell do we do now? You know? And so they're standing on the shore, helpless, unable to do anything as they watch this ship. And this rowboat go to this ship and this ship, about to take off with Ian, with young Ian. And, that's the end of the episode. So, yeah, that was a really, really good episode. I enjoyed it, as I have with almost every episode. I say almost. No, I've enjoyed every single episode, but some more than others. And this is one that I enjoyed a lot. There were, of course, a lot of variations from the book with the story. I'm only going to do a couple of samples, though, of variations from the book. The biggest variation, of course, is how things went down with Jamie being caught at the house with Claire. Well, is that the biggest one? No, I wouldn't say it's really not that much different from what actually happened in the book. In the book, Jamie and Claire had a night of passion and intimacy. And that morning, Claire got up, I think, to put some wood on the fire. And she looked out the window and saw some women riding on ponies toward the estate. So she figured it was some visitors, who knows. So she gets back in bed with Jamie. They fool around some more. Jamie's getting ready to do his little morning breakfast, feasting on her rather than food. And just as he's getting ready to get busy with that, the door bursts open. And it's one girl, not two. And it's Marsali. How do you pronounce that? I think in the book it's Marsali, but I think Jamie pronounced it Marsali. But anyway, she bursts in and says, "Daddy, who is that woman?" And then Leary comes in and it all hell breaks loose at that point. So that's the biggest, well... And that's not the biggest difference in the book. Okay, here's the biggest, I think, thing that happens that doesn't happen on the show. The biggest difference from the show compared to what happens in the book is what happens when Jamie is shot. Because when Jamie is shot... Claire's not even there when this happens. She has left. She actually successfully leaves. Jamie wasn't even trying to stop her from leaving. He wasn't begging. He wasn't pleading. He wasn't. Now, the whole scuffle and fight thing did happen in the book. And Jenny did douse them with water. But Jamie ran off, you know, somewhere, and Claire was left behind. But Claire ends up, you know, finished packing, and she leaves. She takes off. She leaves. And she gets pretty far away from Lollybrock until she's caught up to by young Ian. And young Ian tells her, "You have to come back, Auntie Claire. Uncle Jamie's been shot." And she looks at Ian and like, are you lying to me? And he's like, "No, I promise. He's been shot and he's going to die. If you don't come back, he's going to die." So Claire, you know, not sure that she believes it, but still concerned, goes back to Lollybrock and finds that, yes, Jamie has been shot. Jenny has done the best that she can to kind of patch him up. He's laid up on the sofa, you know, Jenny having cleaned the wound and dressed it as best she can. But obviously, he leaves a knot more than what Jenny can do. So that's when Claire sees that he's fevered. And he's looking at her. He has a fever. He thinks he's having a fever dream. He starts talking to her in this dreamy state. "I knew you'd come back. I knew that you couldn't leave me, or at least you couldn't stay away." You know, so he's talking all this crazy gibberish. And when she touches him, he starts, you know, and he hurts his arm because he starts. And he says, "Oh, God, gosh, damn it, God, fuck," you know. So he's cussing and everything. And then he's like, "You're real." She says, "Of course I'm real. You sent Ian to come after me." He says, "I did not." And she's like, "You mean to tell me you didn't send him after me?" "No, I didn't. I told him not to go after you. I don't want you coming back just because I got shot. I don't need your pity." So it was that kind of a deal in the book, rather than the whole begging her in the front yard and then Leary shows up with the gun in front of both of them. So no, Leary did not mean to shoot Claire instead of Jamie in the book. In the book, she meant very much to shoot Jamie, and I don't think it was an accident. I think it was pretty deliberate. So that's the difference in the book. So that's a somewhat significant difference. Also, what was different in the book was I think those were the major differences. Oh yeah, I talked about the shooting and also how he was discovered. Yeah, I talked about how he was discovered by Leary. And it was, you know, the Marcelli actually caught him getting ready to go down on Claire. He was probably in between her legs, I believe, and getting ready to put his face in her vag for the most part. And Claire was naked, and I think he was naked. And Marsali gets an eyeful of all of this. And of course, I think they managed to cover up before Leary comes in. But yeah, it was a pretty compromising position in the book. Also in the book, the fight sex scene was a lot more aggressive. I think they even bit each other and drew blood, and you know, it wasn't as in the show that they made it very clear that Claire was compliant to this sexual or almost sexual encounter, because in the book it wasn't quite as clear. Jamie was definitely more the aggressor. And even though Claire was, you know, trying to gouge his eyes out and fighting him, she was also pulling him towards her. So she was still trying to kind of fight him off in the book, but not really. So it was still unclear. But you know what? In the book, even though she was fighting him and she was pushing him, but not pushing him away, he was pretty clear that he was going to take that. Okay. Regardless of how she felt about it. So yeah. And I'm laughing. It's not funny though. That's some serious stuff. So people were concerned, I think, about that scene because it was, it doesn't happen. Jenny does come in with the water to toss it on them. And she asked Jamie, "Aren't you ashamed of yourself?" And he goes, "Yes, I am." So, oh man. So yeah, I'm glad they changed that. I'm glad they made it so that Claire was definitely more compliant, and even at some point the aggressor, because she ends up getting on top of him. So yeah. All right. I'm going to make this a wrap, guys. That's it for this week's episode of Bannix, Bonnets, and Kilts. Next week's episode will be the 10th episode of Bannix, Bonnets, and Kilts, and we will be recapping episode 8, or 9 rather, of Outlander, which is entitled The Doldrums. So that will be interesting, of course, as well. I can't wait, can't wait. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll catch you next time. See you later. Bye-bye.